Good evening, everyone. It is my pleasure to call to order the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors meeting for this afternoon, October the 15th, 2014. Would you please stand and we will say the pledge and then a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You have seen the agenda. Any corrections or changes or anything anyone would like to make? If not, can we someone please approve the agenda?
So may.
Second.
It has been moved by Mr. Weaver and approved by Mr. O'Brien that the agenda is adopted. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. We will have the county administrator's report.
Yes, ma'am. Just a few things. Let's go back to the first slide. Oh, that's right. Somebody's having one of those big birthdays going up in about 10 or 11 days.
11.
It's a significant one.
It's a nice round number.
It's not 40.
100?
That's what the kids at school had. I've got them believing I'm 127.
It's 50% of that. Anyway, happy birthday, Mr.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Kent Store Fire Company was featured in Commonwealth Chief magazine in the October edition, and you can see their logo there, but there was a nice article in there about Kent Store and their recruitment efforts and the kind of work that the fire company does. And the State Fair of Virginia that happened in October, same weekend as Old Farm Day, we had lots of winners from the 4-H group here in the county. So you can see all the different awards that children from our community got, you know, award after award after award in these different significant entry areas. And that's one of the reasons why the state fair is such an important time and why we did the county fair with animals at a different time so that they could still go to the state fair and exhibit. Because normally it's during Old Farm Day weekend, and it makes it hard for the kids to try to do both.
And do some of them qualify at our...
I'm not sure if they qualified at ours or they can go direct to the state, because we haven't had one for the last few years, but they exhibited in both places, most of them. So a lot of great work by our kids and by the Cooperative Extension and the 4-H. Did a ribbon cutting today. Chamber did a ribbon cutting at Red Rocker Candy. They opened their new factory store. They've expanded to about triple their previous space, and they have a really nice store out front with all their product. And they sell wine and other gift baskets in there now. It's a great event, and lots of people showed up for that. They also have another event on Saturday, this Saturday the 18th, which is their annual
Cruising
for a Cause event. I think that's from 3 to 5?
Yes.
3 to 5 on Saturday at the Red Rocker Candy Store off of Troy Road.
Is it the same place?
Yep, same place. Yep. Yeah, they just took over they were in the back of the building. They've taken over all the way out to the front of the building now and have much bigger expanded spaces and a store there, a really nice store you can go through. So it's a great event. It was a little dreary this morning. But,
yes.
But it was great, and the place was packed with people.
Wow.
Because they were there for the free samples, I think. The reassessment, Commissioner of Revenue has been working with Blue Ridge Mass Appraisal on the reassessment for this year. Remember, we do... As the board is directed now, we do reassessments in even numbered years, and then that goes into effect in odd numbered years. So the reassessment was done this year, the work done this year, the new assessments will go into effect January 1st of 2015. So then the following year, in 2016, we'll do another reassessment, and that will go into effect January of 2017. So even year assessments, odd year impact is when they go into effect. And this year, the total increase, it looks like about a 2% increase in total taxable value, which will be good for the budget. We'll certainly need that.
Not necessarily, though.
Well, it depends on how it goes in. But you've still got an impact in this fiscal year of additional public service revenue that will be coming in this fiscal year. And if, depending on what the tax rate is next year, it may go back to an equalized rate, wouldn't be anything different.
Right, that's what I was thinking right. about.
Although this fiscal year, you'll still have some impact because running through the remainder of this calendar year, because it's before the January 1st of 2015, and we'll have, I believe, about a $400,000 impact from Public Service Corporation taxes still in this fiscal year, before tax rate set for next year.
That would be extra. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Blue Ridge Mass Appraisal is scheduled to be mailing out the notices this Friday, and then they'll be doing the reassessment hearings in the small building directly in front of the treasurer's office. That's where we did the Board of Equalization hearings last year, or year before last. And so they'll be using the same building, and then the BOE, when they meet in January, will also use that same building. But the assessor hearings are scheduled for October 27th through November 7th, two-week period. And those notices will come out to everyone. And of course, there'll be information in the newspaper and on the website about it as well. And just a reminder, your next meeting is the 4 p.m. meeting on November 5th. And Mr. Allenbach, I think, will chair that one. You'll be gone to that meeting? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions I can answer for the board?
Any questions?
Nope.
If not, thank you, Mr. Nichols, for that report. Next is Board of Supervisors updates. You have anything?
I just wanted to bring up
old
Farm Day. And
yes.
It was, I don't know how many people we had actually.
I've heard 3,000 to 4,000, Mr. Weaver, but I don't know the actual number from the chamber yet, so.
Mr. Nickel and I were in the kissing booth.
He was doing the kissing. I was doing the hawking.
So. Yeah. And we collected $1,000.
Wow.
For Meals on Wheels. And Moselle Booker came and made a donation too. So we appreciated everything we got. And
well, if I'd known that, I would have stuck around longer. I could have got a kiss from the chairman.
There you go.
It was a great day.
Old Farm Day really worked out well. It was a little blustery, but the weather was fantastic otherwise, and I think everybody had a really good time that day. Mm-hmm. And the county booth was moved towards the front, and it actually worked out quite nicely.
Yes.
Although we're going to make sure we have lots of bags this coming year so that people can have a bag as soon as they walk in the gate to collect all the other things.
Yeah, that's
because that's what they ask for the most. So we'll use some of our litter grant money for bags for that.
Mm-hmm. So. Y'all did a good job with them having it right there in the front. That was very appropriate space. You have anything, Mr. Vaughn, from
TJPDC? I think I reported on last time, and I'm drawing a blank on it right now.
Yeah.
So, but I can say that separate from the TJPDC, that next Thursday is polio month, and that's part of my activities with the Rotary Club.
Mm-hmm.
Rotary is very involved in eradicating polio. At the district conference, and I have a purple finger in recognition.
Oh, I was wondering why you had that fan and polish on your pinky.
Yes,
I thought he hit his hand with a hammer.
Well, I didn't know. You thought it was bruised?
I didn't know why he had fingernail polish on.
I knew it looked like fan, but I said, I'm not going to say anything.
I thought he was rooted in Afghanistan. Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
Afghanistan,
because of the kids, colored finger. They have them dip their finger in a purple ink so that they can go walk around.
Oh, that's a good. That's great.
But the Rotary Foundation matches your donation, and then the Bill and Melinda Gates matches it by double. So $1 is $4 if you give to Rotary Club. So next Thursday, just remember that we can end polio. It's 99% eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
And so ask your friends to give and give, and they'll be posted on Facebook and so on. So I think that's a
great. That's good.
Haven't there been a few cases turned up here recently?
There were a few popping up a couple of years back, but pretty minor. The big area right now is Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
Sort of the war zones tend to, Afghanistan and Pakistan is where they're really still concerned about polio increasing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, for the most part, they've wiped out.
That's great.
So,
mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah, that is. Okay, let's see. I attended the Interagency Council meeting on October 3rd, which is usually the day after our first meeting. And we had an excellent presentation on grant writing from Shelley Murphy, who works at Piedmont Housing, because our agencies with the funds cut back and things that they have to deal with, they really have to go after grants. And then the Youth Advisory Council, we had our regular meeting, and we talked about how can we involve middle school children in more activities. And our whole purpose is to make sure that our children, students are engaged and they have activities and they have something to think about so that families and the whole community can improve. And this morning we met with the school system, Mrs. Keller, all the people involved in transportation, and talked about how, what can we do to bring some after-school activities into middle school. So we've decided, we have a plan, and Parks and Recreation is a part of it as well. So we have a plan and to try to do that. So those are the two things that I've been involved in. Anything else? If not, I will open the first public comments. If you have something that you would like to speak to the board about, please come to the mic, give your name and address, and you have 5 minutes. Anyone? Then I will close the first public comment. We do not have a public hearing this afternoon, but we do have two items on action matters. And the first one is the fiscal year 14 Fluvanna County Public Schools Supplementary Funding Request by our finance director, Mr. Eric Dahl.
You want your slide?
What's that?
You want your slide?
Yeah, please.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I'm here before you this evening to request a supplemental funding for the Fluvanna County Public Schools budget for FY14. We'll kind of go through some of the slides here in a moment, just looking at budgets versus actuals and the actual budget increases. Just a couple things to keep in mind. Fluvanna County Public Schools finished FY14 with lower expenditures than were appropriated. However, some of the revenues did fall short, and the additional revenue required to balance the expenditures currently is $97,830,000. We'll go first through here and look at some of the budget changes. So if you look at the top line, the original FY14 budget, the total to the far right for the schools was $34,531,798. And then, you know, you have the breakdown of other local, state, federal, and then the general funds portion. And kind of going down the lines there in red are all the changes that occurred that the board approved throughout the fiscal year to their budget. And then as you see down at the very bottom right-hand corner, FY14 school operating was $35,434,899. So that is, in theory, the total amount that the schools could expend per the board's actions. So any questions regarding this slide here with any of the changes throughout the fiscal year? I'll go to the next slide then. This slide right here, this is FY14 schools budget versus actuals. So if you look at the first column, the FY14 original budget, that is basically a carryover of the previous slide. The far top left corner, the $34,531,798, as you see right there on the left-hand column, FY14 original budget, $34,531,798. So we broke it down with the revenues and the expense. Same with the FY14 revised budget column. These figures also, and actually there is a slight difference by like a couple dollars, but it's rounding errors. So if you look at the very bottom, it's $35,434,901. And going back to here, it's $35,434,899, just Excel rounding errors. So looking at the FY14 actuals, their actual expenditures for FY14 were $34,873,482, which was, you know, roughly about, let's see here, roughly close to $600,000 below what their revised budget showed of the $35,434. The issue came in with revenues. Revenues fell short. Other local revenues came in higher at $1 million, just slightly over $1 million. State revenues came in less at $18,444,768. Mm-hmm. Federal revenues came in less at $1,526,000. And then we just kind of carried over the amount appropriated by the board from the county of the $13,753,429. So total revenues for the schools for FY14 was $34,775,652. So that's that less the expense down below, that gives a shortage of $97,830. I can answer any questions regarding any of these numbers, any of these figures. Schools are here, Ms. Keller and Mr. Breslauer, to answer any questions also. And then we also have a slide from the schools that they also presented to their board, if you want to look at that as well.
Yeah, I was concerned about the ADM numbers from one year to the other and how well that worked out. I really don't recall those and actually what was given put into the state by the school system and then what the state actually came up with ADM. I'm wondering about the difference in that. And then I'm wondering about the changes in revenue per student from one year to the next. And I was wondering how those worked out.
I'll hand the baton off to the schools to answer that question. Yeah, perfectly fine.
This is the presentation that was given to the school board. Which one goes forward?
Right there.
And this just pretty much discusses the fact that we had originally back in mid-August had identified there was potentially $80,000 in local funds for carryover. At the end of September, beginning of October, I guess it was all in the beginning of October, track time, met with Mr. Dahl and Ms. Twisdale to go over, met a couple of days and then talked on the phone the differences and looked at some of what the issues were, because we went from a positive local funds carryover event to a no local carryover. And one of the issues was we had changed from a cash accrual basis to a cash accounting basis to an accrual basis of our revenues and expenditures. We started that with the end of fiscal year 14. So that was one thing. To speak to Mr. Weaver's question about the average daily membership, since fiscal year 2012, which was the first one that Ms. Keller and I worked with, we had chosen to use the governor's proposed ADM in his budget, which very typically the General Assembly just carries forward. They don't ever change it unless the governor comes in and says we found an arithmetic mistake somewhere and we have to change it. So we have used the projections for the state from the state and our development of budget. So the state has a template that determines how much you could get potentially in state revenue for the state expenditure programs, and we just use the state number.
This time
we have used it since we used it in 12, 13, and 14.
What year was it that you said that you had used one year, you had your own and they were different from the ADM, and you were going to make a change then the next year, which I thought it would have been this year?
Last year we talked about discussing whether we would make an adjustment to the state's proposal downward to reflect any trend in average daily membership, is the discussion. Sure. I remember. For fiscal year 11, before we got here, that I don't know what numbers they actually used, whether that was a local number or a state number. That's in the past. But we've just used the state number. Now, there are a number of things that happen in the course of the state number. When we adopt and propose our budget that we send forward to you in March, that has the best numbers for this biennium at the time. When the caboose bill comes out and for fiscal year 14, the Caboose Bill came out in the third week of December. They revised our average daily membership. We had a downward trend, so they reduced our numbers downward. We already had 6 months of operations under our belt.
Mm-hmm.
So when we saw those numbers come out in December, that's why, as Mr. Dahl alluded to, we had over $600,000 less in expenditures than we were authorized because we saw that there was an issue. So we started reducing expenditures in a variety of ways, which included reducing fuel purchases to the minimum necessary, heating oil purchases. Staffing wasn't necessarily replaced right away or with the same people. We held back on school instructional materials and supplies, which if you go to a school board meeting, you'll hear from some of the staff that that's an ongoing issue. So we cut back expenditures in many ways because we saw that revenue was going to be less. We have continued to have the discussion this year, and I'll speak to what's been discussed, not what will happen going forward, because I'm not at that position to make that decision. We talked about we've had a downward trend in average daily membership, and we talked, and you seemed interested in it, that if we had a prediction from the state of,
your prediction, actually, you give the first one, do you not? On the ADM, you project what you think it's going to be.
We do a monthly adjustment to what it is based on numbers that we're seeing.
Uh-huh. And then that can be different from the state then.
That's different from the state. Typically, that in the past, that was what's called unadjusted ADM, where you don't make any adjustments.
Sure.
This year, beginning in November, we're going to do the adjusted, what's called the adjusted, which is an estimate on what the state's going to do and will lead us to what might really happen in March when they come out with the funding number. So that'll be presented to the school board, and now that I'm back all the time, at the November meeting, and I've been working with our director that really does numbers well for students to get those estimates in. So that gives us a more realistic position, and we're going to be starting in November this year. Next year, we're going to actually be able to start in August to where we are, any deviations up or down, to give us an earlier, and we have to make decisions on what we want to do with revenue. If we have, that's a reduced revenue. Average daily membership in the state model, or that template that they give us, Mr. Nichols and Mr. Dahl are familiar with this thing. When you adjust the average daily membership, different portions of the state funding change different amounts. Some change dramatically, which is the basic aid portion under the standards of quality area. The sales tax revenue doesn't change at all due to changes in average daily membership. So we saw a drop, we were seeing a drop in 14 in average daily membership, but there was no impact in the state model for sales tax. But as we know, at the end of last fiscal year, the state realized they were getting less revenue, so our sales tax revenue was down approximately $90,000 to $100,000.
But I was more concerned about the ADMs, what your projections were, and then what the actual state ADM was. The difference in that number.
Again, we're not using a projection. We are taking what the state says.
Well, you are now, but at one time you originally built, like a year back or 2 years, you built your budget on your best knowledge projection, and then you had to wait for the state to come in with their actual ADM for you to definitively know that. Is that not correct?
I don't remember in 15, 14, 13, or 12 using anything but the state number.
So you never made any projections in the past?
I was starting to do that in 11, and then we stopped and we went to the state. That's what I remember. That way, if there's a problem, because when I worked in other locations, if you are a locality and you come up with your own estimates, then the discussion is, why is your estimate better than the state estimate?
That's right, because that was some of the discussion that I recall a year or so ago.
Well, our discussion was more of, if we're following the state average daily membership projection and it's less, shouldn't we project less? And that's where we had the discussion about lowering it. And one of the numbers came up was we do a 2% reduction. And what the state includes, or the governor includes in his template projection for the following fiscal year. And we talked about that, and I believe we talked about that at one of the meetings between the school board and the Board of Supervisors, where it was discussed.
Yeah,
I said we, I wasn't part of part of that
but
discussion.
But that's almost like a guessing game, because it's a target that you cannot put your finger on it, the attendance. Because, you know, the kids, it's March is the most important one.
Sure.
And so the kids, we didn't have this problem before when we were growing. We were way up there. But now that we're leveling off and students are leaving and we're losing, it's hard to, you can't be exact. I don't see how. If you use a state number and you base your budget on that, and then you come in with less children, then they're going to take money from you based on the less children when they come back.
They're going to give you less.
Yeah.
Money.
Well, yeah, and you base your budget on what the state projects.
But that was the point I was making.
Yeah, and then you... So what Don, I think what he's saying, and I think you all talked about doing that, the state may say one thing, but we're going to project lower.
Right, and
we're going to do our budget lower.
And we looked at, if we were to do 98% mm-hmm. of the state's projected ADM, when you put that 98% number into their template, which yeah. is a model, mathematical model to get what the potential state funding is, that if we had done it for fiscal year 14, mm-hmm. it would have been, or was it 15, would have been $314,000 less in state revenue. If you look at the fiscal year 16, mm-hmm. which is the next one we could actually do something in, it's about $301,000 drop.
Right.
And that affects a variety of things.
I guess what I'm disturbed about is, originally we got the word that it was going to be maybe $200,000, $300,000, $400,000. And then, because the figures weren't in, and I understand all that. Then later on we got the word is it wasn't, we're going to ask for anything. And I thought, boy, that's great. Now we come back, and now we need 97. So to me there's some confusion, lack of continuity there. Such aberrations that concerns me how that happens in a period of maybe 3 months right at the end of the budget year. And $97,000 to come up and ask for that here at the basically the last minute, I'm just very concerned about it.
Well,
can I speak to that? Just a couple things more globally, and Mr. Breslau can talk specifically. You and I talked, Mr. Weaver, and,
sure.
And we all have the same concerns. It's not our budget since I walked in here in 2010 has never been pretty and never been easy.
I agree.
I spent 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, with over 125 superintendents across the state. Knowing that this is what we were facing, I asked the question, how many of you have come to the end of your fiscal year? And I was in a group at that point of about, I'd say 14 of us were sitting around a table working on budget issues. How do you save? Where have you been able to recoup some funds? How do you budget? You know, is there anything we're missing? Because I can assure you we think about that and we look at that. Here's the differences in a nutshell. There are school divisions, and I know you trust me enough to know when I say I don't really want to name them, but certainly privately I'll be glad to give you if you want to trust me and then verify I'm okay with that.
Trust and verify.
But you can trust me because I don't.
I do trust you.
I know, and I know I trust you, and I know where I stand with you, so that's good too, and I appreciate that. But here's the message that I got so loud and clear. There has not been not one budget cycle since I've been here that we don't do what we call steal smart. And that means we look to other people's practices. We think about, even when one of the very first things I did when I got here said we have got to make this budget, first of all, user-friendly so people understand it. And then we can even get better about how we manage our funds. The difference continues to be this, that when of those 14 superintendents sitting around that table, when eight of the 14 said in the past 3 years they have had surprise drops, they have cut back to
students.
Pardon?
Surprise drops in students.
Funding because of students, You know, and Ms. Booker is exactly right. I mean, you're chasing a moving target all the time. However, they've had some drop in ADM. Waynesboro's one that was in the paper 2 years ago, and so we remember Waynesboro, and I've talked, actually, Dr. Crowder's at JMU now and talked to him quite a bit. But my point is, and Waynesboro was in a similar situation as us. Their budget was not, there was not enough, and I don't want to use the word contingency because then people think fluff, fat, et cetera. There was really not enough budgetary wiggle room to take care of any of those surprises at the end. Of those 14 people, 8 superintendents said, oh, absolutely. When we reconcile, when my budget, one of them said it very well, when my director of finance sits down with the director of finance at the county level as they close out their books, because, you know, this county closes them out officially and ultimately later than the June 30th drop-dead date, then that's where all that's reconciled. And one thing I don't want us to forget is that we were able, when we were here and excited, we were able to not spend, it wasn't save, but to not spend and to cut our expenditures by over $500,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's phenomenal work on
you
our staff.
You could have came to us and asked us for that, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes. But we wouldn't have. Thank we didn't. You. We saw the trend.
Yeah.
Here's the big difference. If there is wiggle room in the budget, this would not be a public story. Mm-hmm. That's my point. It would be something we would be
Pardon? I say I believe in a contingency too.
Well, our contingencies, our budgetary wiggle room lies in teeny little places in categories, in operations, tiny bit, little bit, you know, more because you're planning for, you know, higher fuel costs. Personnel is going to be where your biggest contingency and ebb and flow is. So if Gina Keller leaves, then the person they hire is probably not going to make the exact same salary. And it's not that you shoot for that, but you typically, as veteran people leave, you get people newer to the profession, typically,
sure,
who don't cost you as much. So you're going to have some. But when we start, when we see those trends, it's a catch-22. 2 years ago, the Board of Supervisors and even our school board weren't seeing information on a regular basis. Not even our school board. We've been giving it to them every month. But we've made it more public that when you talk about, okay, if we're here at the end of the year, well, then we're talking about a $400,000 gap in funding. All right, but that's a moving target. We know that. The risk at saying it early is that we're all crossing our fingers that it's really not $400,000. We know we chase movement targets. It's school budgeting. I don't know how much anybody in this room knows about the nuances and the intricacies of school budgeting and knows them better than Ed. And I would say even as well as Eric Dahl knows right now, working through it to learn it. You know, so these two work very, very well together. But my point is, back to the what I call the best practice in my UVA class in finance, and my additional UVA class in finance, because I wanted to understand it even better, is this. If you can't end the year with 1% of your budget, then you have a budget that's tighter and almost impossible to manage. So you're sliding into home every year, doing the best you can do to manage every single penny, hoping for no huge surprises or catastrophes. And I think we did a really daggone good job not spending over $500,000. And the bottom line is, with the revenues, we missed it by $97,000. That I'm not sugarcoating it. I don't like it. I mean, I like working with you and any of you, but I don't like being here looking again to say we've got to have this money. Back to the, I mean, well, we have to. I mean, it's appropriated. We have to have it. You have surprises. One of our board members understands it beautifully, Carol Tracy Carr. Camilla does too, Camilla Washington. But Carol Tracy Carr said it well. She managed a huge budget when she was at MIT. And she said it was unbelievable how she would think she would get to the bottom line and then she would get, something would come in that had to be traced back, excuse me, put back into that particular fiscal year and paid for that she didn't expect that could have wrecked her budget by $50,000. And it's in an instant. So, that's what I want to say about that. The next thing I want to say is the we have talked a lot about how do you start your year. The reality is, We do use the governor's ADM. We are advised to use the governor's ADM and use the governor's numbers. We did talk openly with you, with our school board, and we've not made a decision yet, but I can tell you the risk factors associated with building a budget for next year on 98% of what the governor's budget is. Like Mr. Breslar said, if we're down $300,000 from the beginning, we have to cut. Mm-hmm. There is no way. If you take the budget book that you've been given, and if you need another copy, give it to you. And this is a little exercise I do with my staff and my staff advisory group. We open that book, and you go page to page, and you explain it, and say, find where we can cut $300,000. And guess where it always comes back mm-hmm. to? People.
Personnel.
And we've cut.
Sure, that's 80% of the budget in that neighborhood.
That's right. And it should be 82%, and uh-huh. we've done a really good job with that, moving it from being 86% of the budget. I mean, that's been a huge effort, each year whittling away. Now, some people have concluded that by doing that, we don't care about them. That has nothing to do with caring about them. That has something to do with caring enough about them to manage a budget that's economically sensitive and that we do our due diligence to predict as well as we can predict, knowing that it's always a slippery slope. But those back to those superintendents, I don't sit there and ask them that just so I can feel better about this kind of stuff. I sit them to make sure that I understand to the depth that I need to understand and that Mr. Breslar understands to the depth he needs to understand. He connects with directors of finance all the time. Again, the big difference is if we have 1% of our budget's over $300,000. So if we know that we're having a $300,000 end, we're sliding into the end of the year with $300,000, and then something comes up that this expenditure didn't come through, and we're moving to the accrual, which makes excellent sense because that's what we should be doing. It hasn't been done, but you're moving so that the numbers reflect what it really takes to run a school system during a fiscal year. Then all of those things together, we wouldn't be here talking. Mm-hmm. We'd be talking with our board and saying, we thought our fund balance was going to be $315,000. However, it's going to be more like $260,000. You know, whatever it is, because here's where we didn't get this, but we're not having to come to you. Mm-hmm. That's my point. I don't like it any more than you do, I can tell you.
What does it look like this budget year that we're in right now? How do you feel about where we are ending up in this year?
Ending up, or you mean this fiscal year 15?
This fiscal year that we're in right now, school system, and concluding next year on June the 30th.
I still am always concerned about ADM because there's huge there's shifts, and again, not unique to Flavanna. You see homeschool. And I'm okay with choice. I mean, people have to choose where, you know, that's the United States of America. You can choose how you want to educate your kid and where. Mm-hmm. In Flavanna, there are lots of choices. I mean, there are little private day schools that pull five-year-olds out of our schools. We've seen over the years probably the biggest drop in kindergarten, 30 students in 2 years. I mean, that's a classroom and a half. And, of course, we've not, you know, those positions have gone with those children as well. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. I would be...
Are you optimistic that you won't have to ask for anything at the end of this year that we're in now?
I'm always optimistic about that. I felt really good about it this year.
Well, let's just give them what they need and then they won't have to come back.
Well, I've always said to you...
You're better at it than I am. But.
I know, Mr. Weaver.
Mr.
We understand each other.
No. We really have, and I think you remember, you're very, I mean, you've connected with me a lot, and I appreciate that. I feel like you're very aware of the things we have done to tighten and still be able to do our job. There's still quite a few things that I'd like to see for our community through our schools that we've had to get, you know, to eliminate. I would like to see those things. But that's a 5 to 7 to 10 year plan. Or I'd say more like I hope 3 to 5 year plan. You know, I hope our economy gets better. But back to your primary question, With each year, this is something Mr. Breslar and I've talked about, and it really is true if you think about it. With every year we've been here, we've had a different grade configuration, different scenario, consequently different implications on the budget. When I first got here, we had all of our schools, including Columbia and Cunningham, that went into the second year, and we had over 24 trailers that were full of children.
How many less students do we have now, are you projecting?
Generally, what do you say?
From
last year to this year?
About 69.
That's quite a drop.
It's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot.
Quite a drop.
Some of it, some of them, it doesn't mean that 70 students moved out of Fluvan and went somewhere else. Some of it, what we're better at is tracking where these children are. Some of these are students who they kind of slip through. It's kind of like holding sand. They sort of slipping through because they will move in, but they become ours, but they are placed in out-of-county programs for some needs, specific needs. Mm-hmm. But they sort of go through our role and out. We're not losing, you know, we don't have a horrific, actually we have a very, very, very low dropout rate. We do great things for children. We're hanging on to that. We see it more in the younger. Mr. Breslar and I were looking, actually Dr. Mathis and I were looking at numbers for homeschool. You would think that the majority of the increases happen in elementary. Right now it's more middle and high, mm-hmm. Which is interesting and unique. So,
What was the difference in receiving from the state this year as compared to last year per child? What was that figure?
Maybe you can be more specific.
Sort of curious how much less the state is giving us now than they did in previous years per child.
You can answer that. I have an answer, but go ahead.
While I don't have those numbers right in front of me, it will be up on our annual financial disclosure statement, which I had to revise after our annual superintendent's report, and that'll be going up. But in fact, from 13 to 14, the state did better, and the locality did pretty good. But going into 15, the state gave us a lot more. We went from the initial appropriation of about 18.6 to over $19 million in 15.
Yeah, but he's asking per student.
Well, that's in order to get
that includes per student, but I am sort of curious: is it $300 per student more than it was the previous year?
Well, and see,
give me a feel for
that,
where we are and
that number
these,
varies.
What
too
you're asking for
is a function of the number of students that you have. So,
year, it's going to look like we have more money per student. That's because we have less students.
We have a lot less students,
but you may have the same amount of money.
We're not getting the amount of money total is not that dramatic. So I don't have those numbers in front of me because that's not one of the. That's one of the few things I didn't throw in my folder to bring over here, so I'm sorry.
No, we had discussed that. I think I mentioned that to you, Ms. Keller, that I was sort of interested in.
Well, I have the per pupil
expenditures, too.
But I don't have the four elements with me because the four elements that we get from the state for our report are state, sales tax, local, and federal. I have the total per pupil expenditures for going from 2010 on. Which is
revenue per student are different.
I can send all.
I was just curious. Well, you don't need.
They don't
to
really
all.
Give us a revenue per student. That's a non-computer.
But those were some of the things that I had mentioned to you before this morning, actually.
So it would be interesting to know of the $97,000, which is less than a shift in the budget percent. What percent of that is attributable? What are the $97,000 is attributable to the actual change from the cash to the accrual method? What percentage is attributable to the ADM changes? And what percentage is attributable to other federal and state spending changes? So that you could actually break that $97,000, answer your question, and say, the ADM impact was $20,000.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Right.
Because it isn't necessarily accurate that the $97,000 is because of the change in ADM.
Right.
Part of it is
that's what I was trying to get to.
Right. And the shift in accrual, all that does is move money from one year into the next year. So that doesn't really change anything. I mean, it changes it, pushes money forward. Next year, you said you would have ended up at $200,000 plus or so.
It changes where your revenue hits.
Right. You shift it from one year into the next year. So we're just shifting more revenues next year. That's fine. And there may be very valid reasons for the accrual, you know, shifting into the accrual method, but it doesn't, I don't think all those changes are attributable just to the ADM changes.
No, it's not.
Okay. And then
how that's broken out when you present this can make that this conversation a lot more clear.
And then
after, especially to me.
And after, yeah. And even after you break it out and make it clear, what does it say? You just understand it better, which is good. We need understanding. But how does that help you do something different? I don't see.
I think part of the problem is, as you pointed out, if you're running a budget that has no room, you know, that you're under 1%, which we are running that budget, when we have these conversations, and if you want to talk about whether this is newsworthy or not, and say that, you know, we're at school and ask for $100,000 or whatever the case may be, that's, you know, 0.30% of a percent.
That's really not a
big deal, because we should have that 1-2% cushion anyhow. But on the other hand, if we shortchange the ADM, which, as you said, puts you back to begin with by cutting it 98%, well, okay, great, that has an impact this year, but then next year, when all of a sudden the ADMs come up, well, then, you know, you're going to be criticized of sandbagging the numbers,
right?
You know, because you're going to be flush with all this extra cash. So I think it's just, you know, the fiscal policy that the school board presents in terms of saying, here's how we're approaching the numbers, and this is how we intend to do it for the next 4 or 5 years, then adds a clarity back to the board, so that, you know, then we can all communicate to the public in an effective manner, and so there's less of this, you know, kind of variation in the school.
And,
Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
That does make
sense. And the other thing, I mean, no matter what you do, we do that, clarify that. And if you turn in money, I've heard the same kinds of things. Why are you turning in $400,000? Spend every cent. You got fluff. You asked for too much. So where do you get to a point where it's trust factor and that we can see that what you're doing the best that you can?
We have a different administration now.
I know, and I
can tell you some of the past administrations.
I've been here for 30 years.
We're not as candid.
As some
of these administrators are. They were not as candid. And all you have to do is look at the past budgets, and you know they weren't candid. And I even spoke up at some of the meetings and spoke about that, and they would just puff it off, you know. They didn't want to hear what I had to say. And it's proven a lot of the things that I have said over the years, not necessarily in your administration, but in the past, were correct, but they don't want to listen, and that's what they want. I think we're getting good information here. And what Tony has to say makes a lot of sense, and what he's saying is, I wanted a grasp of that to define it a little bit more, what you're saying. And I really haven't gotten it yet, but I know where you are, and I've debated actually whether I would approve this or not. Not that that meant anything to anybody, but I have yet to decide whether how I feel about this.
Yeah.
And I think the public has a right to know that I have these concerns, and it gives you an opportunity to explain why you're here. Otherwise, you know, we just go ahead and approve it and keep on going. Somebody says, gosh, $97,000? How was that? They didn't even talk about it.
I'm okay with that. Talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody else I've ever seen stand up at that podium
before
you came talked about it.
It's just not.
People, we didn't listen and we didn't like what they said. So, but we're all on the same page, I think. Yes?
I would simply add that if in fact we're driving to say that the school should have, you know, a more than 1% cushion, or whether it's 1% or 1.5% cushion, or whatever the case may be, that, you know, we understand that that's part of the budgetary process, and that, you know, take 1.5%, as pointed out, on a $34 million budget, you're talking about $500,000. Mm-hmm. Well, that's obviously a big number. We don't want to work towards that number necessarily, but, you know, I think that when we come in, we're talking about $97,000, it really is a very small number in relationship to what it could be if you said, even at 1%, at $300,000, that would be the variance on $34 million. 1% is $340,000, right?
Yeah, but that includes a food line of over $1 million, and you know, to say that, it's kind of gets a little bit confusing when you just say a 1% is 300, but those are figures that stay pretty much the same. Federal, those money that's in the budget, all I'm saying is actually it would be 1% of a smaller
number.
Federal and state have both dropped.
Yeah. And the problem is, because those numbers are the bulk of the contributions.
Put that screen.
Yeah, but then we're talking about money.
Put the screen back up where we can talk about.
But I'm saying, because those are the bulk of the contributions, if you're looking at, well, we contribute $13 million in a $35 million budget. Right. We're only contributing. We're only contributing about 28% or something like that. Right. So if there's a drop on the other side, it's going to fall on us. Right. And that's what we've always said is when you get federal and state cuts, they fall onto us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the point I was making, is that you try to anticipate some of that. So
you're talking about a contingency. You all can't do a contingency fund. You were talking about...
Well, we have a contingency fund, and it seems to work very well.
The state and the federal is $250,000 less, right?
Yeah.
Sure, you can have. I mean, there are ways to have a contingency fund. You just have to have money to put in it. It's like buying a new purse.
You just increase the budget, right?
Pardon?
You just increase the budget to get that contingency in there. It's a circle, isn't it?
It's a circle. That's
it's
the problem.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that's what I'm trying to say. Let's take the shelves out of it, which is what you're saying as well, too.
Yeah.
But, then if it's kind of policy, then future boards can kind of understand that that's what's happening.
Right.
But and I think one of the things you're going to have to decide is whether you want the school system, to be as efficient as possible. That's already been mm-hmm. clear by both the school board and by this mm-hmm. board. But you have to decide whether you want them to live on the margins as they've been doing for the last few years, mm-hmm. or create a school board contingency fund, like the BOS has a contingency fund. Right. But that means you would have to fund that additional dollars, and you could put some guidelines on that to that it's only to be used to balance out at the end of the fiscal year with clear, demarcations on what it's used for and things. But I don't know what the legality of that is.
Right.
But right now, you're not doing anything but the margins.
Too.
Pardon, sir?
In part, that's what Proffers would do as well, too.
You could, although Proffers can't be used for operating budget. You wouldn't.
No, they allow you to target that.
But if we don't, if we don't want this to continue to happen, then we do need to think about some way that we can alleviate the problem.
What's up for the school? Up to the school board to bring that budget to you, with however they want to break that out, and then for you all to ask questions about how they think it'll end up at the end of the year.
Okay, I'm through.
You're finished, Don.
I'm finished.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, and we are learning more and more. We know more and more about the budget, school budget, we've ever known, and that's a good thing, right? I think so. Now, we have a motion. Do we want to, motion is on the screen. Any more discussion? Do we need to discuss any more? Everybody got their concerns out?
Talk about contingencies. I'm not sure. I wouldn't want us to keep the contingency, and then they have to do that.
Well, that's right now not an issue.
They couldn't spend it.
We are the contingency.
We are the contingency. I like it.
The contingency now is fund balance.
Then that's fine.
The general fund balance from the county is the contingency.
Right.
Well, and if you did put a contingency, say in the county's budget, I mean, that's just something that if it wasn't spent at the end of the fiscal year, just go back into fund balance.
But you'd have to have revenue.
You'd have to have revenue support that, though.
Yeah,
which is a problem.
That's the problem. That is the problem.
We'll look at all the different avenues, but.
Right. Okay.
We're at the margins on school budgets. So.
Yes. All right. Are we ready for the motion?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve a supplemental appropriation in the amount of $97,830 for the FY14 Fluvanna County Public School budgets, with funding to come from the Fluvanna County General Fund.
I'll second.
All right. It has been moved by Mr. O'Brien, second By Mr. Shirt. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? And the chair votes aye. So that's 4-0 with one person absent.
They had an excellent
action. Thank you. And then the next one is for you as well, right? No, Parking Center District.
Well, I'm up here for it.
Oh, no. When I saw that and read about that, I said, I knew. You see it in black and white, it hits.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the board, I'm here to request a $39,000 loan from the county general fund to FUSD for FY14. At the end of FY14, FUSD had a negative cash balance of $38,415, and it's pretty straightforward. There weren't enough revenues from water and cell towers, cell tower revenues that we get to support the expenditures. You can see right here, we show the FUSD cash flows from FY11 to 14. And if you look in FY13, there was the under transfers in, there was $31,873. Well, that also included the $30,000 loan last year. With this request, that would bring the loan from the county to FUSD to $109,000. And to the state that none of the loans have been paid back at this point. One positive I will say is as of for the FY15 budget and as of effective August 1, the board and the Sanitary District Advisory Board decided to put those rate increases into effect. And granted, it's only 1 month, so it's really hard to say what that uptick in revenue is going to be for FUSD. I think a 3 to 6 month review of the data will show where they're going to be, with their billings and how the collection's going to change maybe with the increases. You know, are people going to be more conservative on their water flow with the rate increases? So I would say probably not until December time frame could we really get a good idea what is going to be the average of those tax rate increases. Not tax rate increases, the water rate increases.
We'll add a FUSD update to the January, one of your January meetings. Mm-hmm. So you'll have several months of collections and you can see what the revenues are for this year. So I'll put it on the January agenda.
One thing to note, in the FY15 budget, there was $40,000 budgeted in FUSD for the $40,000 loan repayment. And like I said, once we see where the revenues lies, I think that'll, I don't want to say it's going to happen, but I feel like that $40,000 will be able to be repaid.
One thing that bothers me in looking over this, when we're talking about receipts from customers, up to 6/30/14, we had $302,000, and the year before we had $309,000. Mm-hmm. That concerns me that we have dropped revenue, so I don't know how that's going to affect. I don't know whether, at least we've taken steps to try to correct this and to pay the county back, and that I'm very well pleased with. And I think you all made a good presentation some months back about these raises, and I think they did a good job. Your board was able to approve of this also, weren't they, Ms. L?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
So I don't think you have any choice right now, but I'm not very happy with that either.
I'm not either, but
Mr.
I know it.
Mr. Weaver, I'm not happy to come with you. come to you with
I'm an unhappy guy.
I would just like you to note that the person coming asking for money this night is him, not me.
Right, there you go.
Eric, you need to stop it.
You don't just let him fall.
You put him out there.
Well, I'm not coming for any more money tonight.
He's
so.
Falling on the sword. That's all he's doing.
Oh, sorry. Boy.
No.
Do we have any questions? I think we know FUSD and all the situation and the problems, and they're working so hard and trying, and I do think there's a positive down the road.
Yeah, and we'll also look in 15, if there's ways to cut expenditures, possibly right. they have that, the current FUSD debt, speaking with our financial advisors, it's possible to refinance that debt issue too.
Can you do that under that loan?
Yeah.
Well, you're paying, 4%, isn't it?
4.5%.
4.5%.
Uh-huh.
So
that's really bad.
Yeah, I mean, so if we can get something like we did through the VRA for the county, let's just say we get, 3% or
something.
Have
you tried it?
We haven't tried at this point. That's our next target.
I think that should be on the top agenda. Right.
That is. That's the next.
Is there a reason we didn't add that into the sort of bond issuance?
Well, it's a separate organization, yeah. And so we have to be careful how we manage this one. And there were, this is a voted bond, an odd loan. In the way it was, the length of it and things like that. So the financial advisors are looking at it now, and they'll come back with a set of recommendations that we'll brief you on. But
that's definitely on our radar.
Right.
Are you allowed, though, to change that with a bond like that that you've already approved of with the voters? Can you change that just arbitrarily and go out to seek another lower rate? Is that allowed by law?
Yes. The changing of the rate, as long as it's not additional funds from the taxpayers, we wouldn't have to go back for a new public hearing or for a new referendum or anything. But it would be adding new debt to it would be a potential problem.
But we're not adding debt to
No. But again, we'll get the...
We'll get the review
from Raymond James, and they'll give us the range of options.
We would look for an interest rate decrease and then keeping the same maturity, so...
Why haven't we done that before? This.
I can't speak on that. Why? I mean,
I don't know either, Mr. Weaver, except that really FUSDI, since I've been here, FUSDI, until the last 6 or 8 months, really hasn't been on the county radar because it was this separate entity.
It's been online.
But the board has always said, that, you know, that's separate. That's their own, you know, their own thing. So we're just trying to look hard at everything now. But Mr. Stevens has really taken on that project, working very closely with the FUSDI staff, who are fantastic.
Yes, fantastic.
But really working hard on that. And Morgan Keegan can look at this one. I mean, Raymond James can look at this one, too, for a refi.
Yeah, I would have thought it would have been wise when you looked at all the rest of them that we approved just recently, that would have been thrown in there and looked at that at the same time.
Didn't think about it, but I'm not sure that our financial advisors really understand what FUSDI is for us either.
But that's almost irrelevant if we would present it to them, they could find out.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Okay.
Thank yes. you. And thank you, Don.
Why?
Because your conversation about FUSDI is so helpful.
You make it up for
Bob. Well, I try to help people all the time, you know. But I'm very careful when spending taxpayers' money.
I know.
And I want to help your people.
I know you do.
But I don't want the rest of the county to pay for it.
Oh, well, quick.
Hopefully we took care of that about 3 months ago.
Yes, right. Hopefully. I hope so.
Hopefully.
Well, there's a reason why it's a special taxing district.
Yes. Right. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the explanation
part of the legal basis of
what FUSDI
is.
But FUSDI is for them.
Would it make any sense to not just lower the interest rate, but extend the term out without increasing the debt level just for cash flow purposes?
You may not be able to do that.
Yeah, that might require separate referendum approval because it was approved as a certain package.
I was wondering even about the interest rate, because I think they had two proposals at the time, that $1 million and wasn't the other one like $2 million?
It was bigger. I don't remember the exact amount.
Yeah.
But I think when you have a referendum on these things, they're fairly specific. But I don't think the interest rate is on the ballot.
Okay.
But I think the amount is, and I know the amount is, and I think maybe the term is. But I would stand to be corrected by bond counsel because they're the specialists in this. But my horseback reaction is anything that does anything other than reduce the debt, the interest rate, would raise a red flag with me.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, any more discussion? We have one ready who would like to make the motion.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve a $39,000 loan from the Savannah County General Fund to 14 in Sanitary District effective June 30, 2015.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. O'Brien, second by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
And chair votes aye. That's 4 ayes.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. The next thing, we have a presentation from Dr. Jackie Myers of Strategic Initiatives.
Okay, we'll open this up, and I did an update where it says updated. It should read October 9th. That's when the information was collected that I'm going to present tonight, so I apologize for that error. What I'd like to highlight are the updates, the Market Flavanna campaign, the two contests, I Love Flavanna and the Business Promo Challenge. Entries are due by January 9th, and that project's moving along. There's a committee that's overseeing it. And there's a lot of talk. I'm not supposed to repeat anything because no decisions have been made yet, but there's going to be a very nice event to, present the awards to the winners of these contests and things. So really something to look forward to, and I think going to be very exciting. As we look at 1C, my last presentation, we talked about the Piedmont group of counties that were developing the wine trail. Well, at this point, people who work in that area in the wine industry have been contacted to get them involved in this promotional, and I think that's moving along very nicely. And then the business and tourism guide is being developed, and planning has offered to help with maps. So that should be something to look forward to.
One note about the wine trail. Mr. O'Brien, you had mentioned, I think two meetings ago, that you had mentioned several meetings before that, I think at the August 6th meeting, something about wine information. And I went back and listened to the August 6th tape, and I couldn't find anything. Was it for Pleasant Grove House?
My idea was that it would be a nice way to use Pleasant Grove if we highlighted some of the agricultural practices and some of the agricultural items that are in the area, including wine.
Okay.
I think that's a good idea.
As part of the exhibits, and that we could potentially, and I think you even mentioned that, we could probably get a booth or a video player that talks about, the development of wine in the area, going back to Jefferson's age, et cetera, the new growth, the resurgence, so that, again, it's a stopping point for people as they come and visit the area and can get some information about wine. You can go to all of the wineries, but very few are giving you any historical background. And since we had this Pleasant Grove, a historical context in which to offer it, it's quasi-plantation-like. It's not a plantation, but it's quasi-plantation-like. That there could be both inside and outdoor exhibits that would be a real attractive add-on to that.
Great, thank you.
Are they thinking about putting any audios for the exhibits that they already have? For people who are not good readers or children, I remember going into a museum, and when you walked in the door, it came on telling you, and you just walked through.
We've kind of thrown that idea back and forth based off of some other feedback that we've gotten. It would just be a matter of figuring out.
Yeah.
We rent out headphones.
How to do it.
It's a matter of money.
Money would definitely
pay. And staff time, because we'd have to get a consultant to help with some of that.
And record it, and it could be somebody pushing a button and it plays.
I might add, just extending just on the wine agricultural thing, but we could make it almost commerce and trade-like, and this comes to mind just because of the recent news about the annual Bateau Festival.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Granted, crosses our rivers and our county along those lines, so we can speak to that as well.
Why couldn't you elaborate upon this to some way get the educational system set up into this, the teaching of how to run a vineyard and all of that, and maybe even have a class, because it is really...
PECC is offering classes on that now.
We have an ag teacher that's just built a wonderful...
And have something there, that, like you say.
I think, again, that could be a school project.
I think it'd be great.
Be awful pretty sitting out there.
I don't think there's a demand for those individuals for work.
I love wine campaign.
The one thing I can assure you is that...
Jason's gone.
One thing I can assure you is that Pleasant Grove House, as a welcome center, as a museum, as a destination, will continue to evolve. But it's hard to, the great ideas keep them coming, we'll keep adding the list, it's just hard to do everything at once.
Sure.
And we're glad to have gotten over the hump that the house hasn't fallen down in the first two weeks.
So far.
And the bathrooms in the house work, But anyway, we'll certainly add those kinds of ideas to the list because they're great ones. And we'll continue to refine that. We've got the staff there working about 4 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week now, but we're going to be monitoring traffic too because we may find that that's way too much or way too little for some days. And we want to make sure.
How much insurance do we have on that building? Is it pretty expensive?
I think what our standard policy is for the county. Eric, do you know what our insurance is on the public health? We need to check
that. We've got it covered completely.
But it's something that
But we have sort of insured.
Exactly.
Our alarm system on it?
We can get it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, that's fine. I'd like to go to 2C at this point. We had mentioned before we were collecting information on core services for an annual report that we'd like to put out the end of the year, and that's going very well. The deadline was today. Some people are still tweaking theirs, but promised them to get them turned in this week, so that's looking very good. We're also asking for some supporting documentation. Data, graphs, numbers, you know, even pictures, things to support the core service reports. And we'll be setting a date where that deadline will be farther out and give people a chance to submit that information also. But that's going very well, so I'm looking forward to that publication. And then I would like to draw your attention to 3A. Originally, we said that the kickoff meetings were held in June. In September, the meetings would be held to update the citizen on the plan and get their input. That September date has been moved to October, so it'll be this month. We need a little more time to organize and work on that.
There are two public forums, as follow-up public forums for the comprehensive plan, one at the Beaver Dam Baptist Church and one in the Morris Room. One in the Morris Room. For two upcoming dates that are posted on the website and in the fan mail. I think one is the 18th? 20th and 21st, okay. So next week.
Monday and Tuesday.
Monday and Tuesday, okay.
Okay, and then I'd like to move to 4B, developing and adopting a county water and sewer service plan implementation schedule. The preliminary work has been funded for phase one of a master water and sewer plan. A company has been selected to do the work, and their proposal is being reviewed. So that's the update on that project. And that pretty much summarizes the changes from my last presentation regarding the projects as strategic initiatives that we've been working on. Do you have any questions?
Nice job. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you.
Mr. O'Brien asked one time when that first came out, when you were first adopted, I think in January, and you asked, is this too ambitious? And I said no at the time, and I still mean no, but there's a lot there. And so one of the reasons I hesitate on doing extra stuff is because although we don't report every meeting on what's going on, all that work is going on. And then, you know, still trying to get the contracts out for new projects that were approved this last budget. And, you know, the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. There's just a lot there. And, oh, by the way, budget season's coming now. So we're going to try to stay on track with all that. If we are going to get behind anything, I'll let you know ahead of time if we're not going to make any deadlines. But there's a lot of ambitious things there that are good for our county that we need to work on. But it's difficult to add too much more to the stack.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. We are now at our consent agenda. Would anyone like to pull anything from that?
Let's look at D.
D is minutes of September 17th meeting.
Yes, I noticed that where you have the records at the end of those meetings, talking about the 5 million dollar general obligation school bonds. Then it comes down to the vote. Do you not want that vote in here, or what's the situation? It's page 7.
Page 7. Okay.
It has present and absent, and then yes, no, and abstained. And maybe you're waiting on something, but I would think those votes should be in this, should they not?
Well, I'm trying to find where.
Page 7, it says Moselle Booker, Olin Brock, Sheridan, Brian, and myself. And there's nothing there about the votes that that is on this.
This was a vote for the bonds?
Yes.
I think we all voted aye on those, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Weaver, I'm not sure where on page 7 you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm looking at which 7.
Attached hereon is a true, correct, and complete copy of the resolution of the board entitled Resolution Authorizing.
It's a certificate.
Uh-huh.
It's on page 11.
Mine says 7, so.
Yeah.
So that would confuse you. But do you have anything on that one? I mean, is there a vote on that one?
No. Yeah. A summary of the members of the board present and absent at the meeting and the recorded vote with respect to the resolution is set forth below.
When that went into the state, was it filled in?
No, because that's an exhibit to the resolution.
Oh.
That's not.
Okay.
That document right there, as you see, it says draft. That's just an exhibit to the resolution that was presented to the board. That's not completed until we finalize the debt issuance.
Oh.
Well, what are you doing then with these minutes then here?
On this page right here, nothing, because that's this document. If you go up to the top of this document, it just says an exhibit. It's an exhibit to the resolution.
So when the public looks at this, what will they think?
Well, I mean, the board voted, and that's recorded in the minutes.
Yeah, and it's recorded in the minutes.
This certificate doesn't go in until we I'm not sure.
Until we file, right, or whatever it is.
I don't know. I'll check.
This is just a draft.
Okay,
we would do the real.
The council said that this is what we submit.
And then we will fill in the yes.
This is the memorialization of what you did.
Yeah. I'm just not sure why it's not filled in here either, so we'll try.
Yeah.
It needs to be filled in. Okay. Anything else?
No. Are you going to name each one of these?
Okay. So we've talked about the minutes of September 17, 2014. Minutes of September 25, 2014. That's E. F, minutes of October 1, 2014. G, proclamation, Disability Employment Awareness Month. And H is Munis implementation staff bonuses. And I is accounts payable report. Any of those we need to talk about?
Actually.
Council payable.
Yeah.
I knew you wanted to say
you're going to get me on that one.
You
can't miss this
can't
one.
Miss it. No.
Heavens no. We couldn't function if we
if
did.
If you didn't say anything about that, I would just.
You'd be shocked, wouldn't you? You'd faint over there.
What line, sir?
Page 28 will start off.
28.
What line?
Yes.
What line?
28, line 28.
Is it page 28?
Page 1 of 14. We're starting off right at the beginning.
Line 28?
Line 28 on page 1.
We don't care about the page numbers right now. This one's all line numbers.
Okay. This budget is so easy to
the
read.
The RFC line?
Okay.
Yeah, because you can just go right down. No, I'm just curious. We had talked about, quite some time about Robinson Farmer and Cox, their services and all. And usually we take out bids maybe every 3 years or 4 years, or it was just vaguely hit upon. And I'm just wondering if we've thought about that anymore. Or
we're still on contract with them.
We're on contract with them. I think they come up in 15, if I remember correctly. I'll have to go back and look exactly, but I know we're coming up on it.
It is every 5 years.
I didn't think it was that
one. Maybe three.
I think it was 3 years.
Three.
Yeah, I think it's three.
But it's reviewed, and so I think it is coming up in 15.
Okay. All right. Next.
Okay. Let's talk about school again.
What page?
Line
number, sir.
Line 139.
Okay.
Mr. Weaver, that's an error. That should not have been coded there. If you look, that's under the circuit court judge budget. That does not belong there.
I didn't think they wanted to get messed up with the circuit court judge.
No.
he caught the one thing again, so.
I was sitting down and I was waiting for you to ask about it as I was looking through it.
I appreciate it.
Okay, let's see here. I guess number 166, Central Shenandoah Criminal Convention. Where do we stand on the matching funds? And all? I see it's $30,000. Can you give me a little bit of background information on that one? I guess it's for each juvenile, but is there some?
Well, no, this, I believe, now don't, and since Sheriff Hassler, no one from the Sheriff's Department's here, I'm not sure if this is for their training to deputize. This is not under corrections and detention. This is under the sheriff's budget.
Okay. Yeah, this training.
This may be to go to the academy.
Right.
But we'll have to
but charge 30,000.
But that's well, not be for a lot two. Of money.
More than one. It's about, I think it's about $15,000 for an individual to go to the academy.
Wow, I didn't know.
It was but that it nice. Says convention.
Yeah.
Convention and education.
Convention and education is the line. It just doesn't footprint the whole thing in there.
Oh, okay.
But it's all part of the same budget line.
All right.
Okay, let's see what we have here. Let's go to line 230, the rector and visitors, professional service, EMT. Mm-hmm. Where the, can you explain that a little bit?
That's the EMS service, sir. That's the
paid staff. Paid crew.
That's the paid crew.
Right. Now it's part of the University of Virginia, so it's the rector
okay.
and visitors. And
I got you.
It's just the official title that we had the contract with.
Is that a quarter?
That's for 2 months also.
2 months.
That's two. That's two bills.
Yeah. Okay. You jogged my memory. 255. Again, I'll bring up, for example, billing equipment, repair and maintenance. Are we ever looking at maybe hiring a person and we can save money? If you notice, there's a lot of those bills in here, and that one's $24,000. I have no idea what they did other than what it said. And also, you look underneath of that, and it says laundry and dry cleaning, $625. That's getting to be cleaning their clothes pretty good. $625 for cleaning the clothes?
That's for the month. That's the
that
public,
seems
public
to me that
staff.
That was high.
That's how it works, right? Mm-hmm.
And I didn't remember him being that high on a monthly basis, $625. I don't think that's
a
month.
It's more than a month, right?
Yeah, I would think so. It can't be that much,
so,
surely.
We'll just follow up on 255 and 256.
Okay.
CII, the part of the problem with CII is that we do not have the expertise to do that, and
right.
you're probably not going to hire a technician to be able to do that service independently for the cost we pay. And if we were a little bigger, you'd have staff do that. If we were a little smaller, you'd just go straight contract. In this case, we're kind of in that in-between stage. If you hire one technician to do that, and then the person's not available or needs a second to help with the job, we'd have to bring contractor help in. We're very concerned about how much we spend with CII, especially on my building, on the admin building, but they service all of our other ones, too.
Well, I realize it's technical, and that certainly is a good reason that unless you actually sent somebody to school and had a contract with them, that they'd stay with us for 3 or 5.
Well, that's the problem, is you'd have to almost pay for them to go to school, and then they have to sign a contract to stay for 2 to 3 years afterwards, because they'd be going for the highest pay they could find.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the motion for the consent agenda, have we finished all of the discussions about it?
Yes, I've run down through them. Yes.
Okay, anyone else? All right, can we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So made.
And second? So it'll be Mr. Weaver made the motion, Mr. O'Brien seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
And chair votes aye. Okay, now do we have any unfinished business? Any new business? We will open the public comment number 2. Anyone would like to speak to the board, please come to the mic and give your name and address, and you have 5 minutes. I see no one, so I'm closing the second public comment. And now we will have closed meeting. Mr. Weaver?
Madam Chair, I move the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A.1, Section 2.2-3711A.6, Section 2.2-3711A.7 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purpose of discussing personnel, investment of funds and legal matters.
Okay, do we have a second? Okay, it is a move by Mr. Weaver and second by Mr. O'Brien that we enter into a closed meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Thank you all.
Madam Chair, I move that the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved to the best of my knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-371-A of the Code of Virginia, 1950 as amended, and only such public business matters were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened, were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Okay, may I have a second?
Second.
All right, and Mike?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien? Moselle? Chair? Aye. All right, so we have four. Now let's have a motion for adjournment.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Weaver, second by Mr. O'Brien.
Thank you, guys.
All in favor? And opposed? Four people said it's time we move.
We could have almost made it out of here.